How's your courage this morning? Let's go to Deuteronomy to start with, 31:23. I'll need some water, somebody. Maybe somebody's already going to get that. 31 and 23 of the good book of Deuteronomy. And we desire your prayers. We need the Lord's help this morning. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, "Be strong and of a good courage. For thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." And then the start of this chapter, first verse of 31, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord had said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites, and into the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that he may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid." Thank you. "Be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God." Now listen to what this said. "Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua, and he said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong, of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto the fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." Now then, courage is a quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear or depression of spirits. It's bravery, it's valor, it's boldness, it's firmness, it's fearlessness, and it's fortitude. Courage, by Churchill, Winston Churchill said many years ago, success is never final, and failure is never fatal. All that is important is courage. That's your key, is courage. And this morning, it is a key asset in living for God. There had been people down through the years that have gone to a doctor and I'm just talking about people in general, gone to a doctor and they had something wrong with them and they said, "You have cancer." Do you know what happens to a lot of people when they're told they got cancer? Down. Their courage, their attitude, and everything falters. Why? Because it's dangerous. It's a killer. People do overcome it sometimes, but sometimes they don't. It'll put you in the ground over and over and over. And the bottom line is that no matter what we face, courage is an essential element to keep you and I to keep going, not to falter, not to go down, not to backslide. God's telling them here, Joshua's going to do it. God spoke to Joshua again. We'll get over there in Joshua 1. And he's letting him know he was facing something. Moses was fixed to step off the scene, and Joshua's going to take it and run with it. You think about it. Those people are not people, easy people to lead, to guide. Moses had trouble with them. God had had trouble with him. And here it was. He's going to tell Joshua, "I want you to take this group and I want you to take them and do what you need to do with them. Take them to the land." And can you imagine what he thought? Can you imagine the horror? Now listen, young people, you can have courage. I got a lot of them here today. And you can have courage. I've been living this way since I was 18. So I started when I was young. And the bottom line was I've had to have courage over and over and over down through the years. If I hadn't had courage, if I hadn't been willing to stand up and go on and do what needed to be done, I wouldn't be here today. I'd have been gone years ago. Because I got news for you. The devil just didn't roll over and die when I got saved. It's a key asset. It opens and makes things happen. Everything is done by courage. A president said, "One man with courage makes a majority. Without courage, you won't win." This is why the devil fights it so hard. Our leaders must have courage. It's their job to inspire courage. One of the most inspiring presidents, I guess, that I can remember in my lifetime was President Ronald Reagan. He had a way to uplift, challenge, to get the nation's attention, so to speak. There'd been others been good too, but he was one of those that had a real way about him. Listen, it's not always somebody can inspire courage, but God can. Sister Billie Jean said he come along. He comes to us over and over. We may ask him, or he may just drop a special blessing in our lap. Our leaders must have courage. It takes courage to inspire courage by living and showing it. Now look at the great commander that had great courage and can inspire your courage. All right. He's telling Joshua here in the 23rd verse. He said he gave Joshua the Nun a charge. Be strong. Now, Joshua, I'm going to drop off the scene. I'm going to get out of the way. That alone right there could cause some problems. Could kind of scare people, so to speak. Because a man that had done it all up to this point, he's fixed to be taken off the scene. But he said, I want you to be strong and of good courage. Now then, as we read and study this, the Bible, the Lord is working to inspire, to challenge, to stir Joshua to have the courage to take him all the way into Canaan land. And so here he said, thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land, which I swear unto them. And then he going over here, and Moses had laying it out here in the first through the ninth verse. And he called unto Moses, called Moses. And Moses called unto Joshua and said to him, in sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. Do you have good courage this morning? I'll be honest with you, our world is not in a pretty picture right now. The world's not in a pretty picture. There is people that can get discouraged and despondent because of the way things are going. COVID-19 has caused a lot of problems. There has been some mishandling. There have been some false truths given. But the bottom line is there's one that's still in charge, and that's God. And he has seen people through over and over. And he's telling us this morning. He said, I want you all to be strong and of a good courage. Not just any kind of courage, but good courage. When you have good courage, it don't take much to inspire you further. You may have a little bit of discouragement, but if you have good courage and you hold that and you're steady with that, it will bless you and help you, because God can come along and just kind of give you a little shove, a little encouragement or strength, and you'll just rise up and take the deal. For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. Now then, remember, he'll never fail thee. He'll never forsake thee. He's always there. So he said here, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Don't be fearful. Don't get shook up in all of this. All right, let's go to Joshua 1. Joshua 1:1. Now then, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, now the Lord spoke to him this time. Moses had been doing it. Now then, God is dealing directly with Joshua. There's going to be a change. You're my next man and to step into the position. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So it's going to be a large area. There may not be any man... There shall not be any man to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What happens sometimes when we're looking for courage, if we get a hold of a scripture, if we're not careful, we may not analyze the whole scripture. Sometimes we don't have to. Sometimes I went to sit down here a while back, and as I was sitting down in my recliner, I mean literally sitting down in the recliner, as I was sitting, starting to, the Lord gave me a scripture, one of my favorites that I've had for many, many years. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. What stood out to me was two words, my help. Now then, it don't take very much for the Lord to with good courage. It don't take a whole lot to inspire us and fire us, even with two words, my help. Listen today, he's telling Joshua, listen, you're going to go over. Listen, what is the Lord calling you to do today? What is the Lord interested in you doing? He's got things for you to do. He's interested in building. He's interested in doing. He's interested in souls being saved. But what are you and I doing? How much are we doing? How encouraged? How stirred are we? How movable? Are you ready for the camp meeting? Are you interested in the camp meeting? The Lord wants you to be of good courage this morning and stand up and say, I'm ready to do whatever thou would send me to do. Great sea roared down. There should not any man. And he said, as I was with Moses. Now God is telling him this. Read this, folks. As God's telling him this, he's telling us this. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now listen, sometimes we feel all alone. Sometimes we feel like everything's against thee. Everybody's against me. But he said, I will not fail thee. This is an individual salvation between you and God. He is talking to us this morning, individual. Nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now then, again, he says, have not I commanded thee? He's already had Moses tell him. Now then, he's dealing with him. He is trying to get a good foundation set whereby that Joshua is understanding clearly without a shadow of a doubt, I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake thee. I'm right here. I know, Joshua, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be a big job. They've given Moses problem. They've given me trouble. But the bottom line is you're the man with the job. You're the man with the assignment. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Whithersoever. You don't know where you're going to be. We don't know what all we're going to be doing. And the Lord is wanting this morning to get our attention, and he's wanting us to buck up and do exactly what he's asking us to do. All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles 32 and 1. 2 Chronicles 32 and 1. Now when all this was finished, no, that's 31, 32 and 1. Now after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and camped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was promised to fight against Jerusalem. He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped the fountains in the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? And he strengthened himself, and he built up all the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, and another wall without, and repaired Milo and the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, and he gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfort to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Now with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battle. And the people rested themselves upon the word of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He was very successful in what he did, in getting their attention. Now listen today. He went and he took counsel with his mighty men. They're going to stop the waters of the fountains which were without city, and they did help him. Now listen today. The devil, we have a lot of thought processes that flow through our mind as people. And sometimes the devil gets involved with that thought process. He wants to take that process and he wants to use it to hinder us. He wants to discourage us and make despondency if he can. So the bottom line is, you need to stop the flow of the thought process. Shut it down. Don't give the enemy anything. Why should the king of Syria come and find much water? Why should he do that? We're going to stop this water. Listen today. There's times that our minds, the devil wants to do this and do that. Listen, stop the throw of that. Shut it down. Turn it. Think on the things of God. Work with him and so forth. If you need to, pray and say, Lord, I need you to help me here. And he strengthened himself, and he built up the wall that was broken, and he raised it up to the towers. Now, if you knew that somebody was going to come and fight against you, you'd want to be prepared when they got there. And that's what he was doing. He was setting everything in place. He wasn't allowing anything to be, out of order. He was getting everything just like it ought to be. He was getting this done and that done. Built up the wall that was broken. Raised it up to the towers. Another wall without. They say in one point that there was three walls around that city. Three. Some say two. What the commentator is saying. But one said it was three walls. So he's getting the walls ready. We're going to have an onslaught. He's going to come against us. And we're preparing. Listen, folks. The time to prepare for the next battle is when you're in the peacetime. Not in the middle of war. You got enough to do in the middle of war. So you want to do it in the peacetime when everything's rolling real good. You want to be sure that your experiences is everything that it ought to be. Don't be going around flogging and just doing little things here and there. But have a good, clean experience that when the devil... All right, Brother Keith, he made a statement. And I started to follow up with him on this. But I know a man. I went to work for Terry Morgan. My brother worked for Terry for a number of years. And I went to, Craig was going to take a vacation, and Terry told me, he said, well, I can use your help. Well, I'm not a body man. I can't spray paint as far as on a car and stuff like that. But he said, I can use you, Carl. You come on and work with me. Well, I was working with a man that was a Christian, and he had been in a congregation, and there was a lot of hypocrites in that congregation. And he would talk about this one day, and he would take him and what I call pitch him in the hypocrite trash can. That went over. Next day he talked to me about another, and I don't know what all was said. I was mainly listening. I wasn't making a whole lot of comment that I remember, but I was listening. Another one, he pitched in that can. Another one, he pitched in that can. After so many days, he mentioned the name of a man I knew, a brother. I've been in his home, slept in his beds, eat off his table. He would come and be in services when I'd be in certain places. We'd be in meetings together. And he mentioned this man's name, and I thought, that man's a saint. What is he going to say about him? He couldn't say good enough about him. That saint had lived a life that challenged this man. It didn't discourage him. It wasn't a hypocritical life. It was a solid lived life. Listen, folks, today, with you and I, if we have our life what it ought to be, in a position that people can look on it, where they can have faith and confidence in us, listen, we can help them. But if, like we've been said, these people that are hypocrites, the leaders, the head honcho, I'm talking about the preachers and then your deacons and all that in some of these congregations, they're not living a life that is what it ought to be. The Lord wants a clean, holy, righteous life before him and man, so by he can take that person and use them. He couldn't use Joshua if he was just anything, but he took Joshua, his man. He had been groomed by Moses. He was in a position and going to use you. Now that Hezekiah's coming in here and he's telling them, we want to get everything just like it ought to be. The man is coming. He wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. If you knew that you was going to have a battle, you'd want to be ready. Listen, that's what Hezekiah was doing. He said, captains of war. He's getting everything in order. And then he said, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, For with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battle. And the people rested themselves upon the words of the Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now then, it goes on down in here. And this other king, he starts sending back and making threats and doing things and everything. But listen, God had enough of it. And at one point, he sent his angels, I believe it was, and he done a lot of destruction to that other army. He took care of it himself. It said there that one place, to see, that Hezekiah and one of the men was praying. Amos, son of Amos, prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried to heaven because of the threats they're making, the things they're doing. Listen, folks, there's a lot of things said, a lot of news out there. And former President Trump said it. It's a lot of fake news. There's not much in it. But the bottom line is this right here is the perfect word. It is put in place for you and I, and it will help us, encourage us, establish us, challenge us, stir us, help us get our lives exactly where He wants it to be. Help us to be able to move out and do exactly what He wants us to do. So the Lord took. He said, don't be dismayed or discouraged. Stand up. Be what you ought to be. Be encouraged. We've got more with us. Listen, when I don't care how many people come in, there's more angels around than there is humans. This building is more full of angels. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is right here with us this morning. We've got a nice sized crowd. And I preach to smaller crowds and I preach to bigger crowds. But the bottom line is the Lord is here. And we're thankful for God coming down. And you might say smelling, spending time in our assemblies to help us this morning. Because there is battles out there. The devil's alive and real this morning. He goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord's wanting you and I to have courage and to stand up and send him a packing, bless your heart. He's the enemy of enemies. Well, Hezekiah and them, they got their victory. The town was better off. Everything was in great shape because they already got her done. Lord, help us this morning. There's another scripture over here in Isaiah 41. 41, 6 and 7. Now, at one point, Molly and I, there was about six of us in the Shawnee congregation. I'm not there in the Shawnee congregation very much. I'm gone too much. But about six of us, and some of them definitely had COVID. Pretty well known they had COVID. Molly and I, she was a lot sicker than I was. So the Lord was helping us and working with us. But a brother sent me a scripture. He said over here in 41, 8, 6, and 7, he said, they helped everyone his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. Now then, how's the last time you went up to your brother and say, be encouraged? Put your arm around him. Hugged him. Her. Women with women. Brother with brother. And done something to encourage them. You know they're in a battle. You know they're in a strait. And you go up to them, let them know you're behind them. I was in a situation one time, and an elder minister among us, they wrote me a 6-page letter giving me detailed information how they got victory in a very similar, even more horrid situation than I was in. It was the same line, but theirs was, well, I had lost a girlfriend, and their husband had divorced them. That's what it was all about. So they was telling me what the Lord helped them and lining it out. They was encouraging me. Another brother come up, put his arm around and said, Carl, I'm praying for you. Listen, folks, today, people need to know we're behind them. People need to know that we're interested in them. People need to know we love them. Well, they do. Listen, let's go a bit further. Let's let them know by card, you can't do texting around here, but you can call them and you can say, I love you. Stay in the battle. Don't quit. Stand up. Listen, said, he encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with a hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. He fastened it down. Listen, we can help fasten some things down if we will. But he goes on down in the 10th verse, and this is what the minister sent me when I was going through this deal where I thought was COVID, I guess it was. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee. I'll help thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not. for I am with thee. Lord, help us today to do like Hezekiah, do what needs to be done, and then for you and I to fight the battle, stand up against the enemy, and do the thing that needs to be. All right, let's go to 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22. 22 and 6. 1 Chronicles 22 and 6. And he called for Solomon, his son, and he charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly. Thou hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born unto thee, and thou shalt be a man. And who shall be a man of rest? And I will give him rest. And from his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. And I'll give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. And he shall build a house for my name. And he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee. And prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said unto thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments, which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of a good courage. Dread not and be not dismayed. Now then, this would be an awesome project. I've had the privilege, if you want to say it that way, of being in three building projects with three congregations. The last one, I guess the first two kind of helped me set in place. They just said, you're going to be the GC over the whole project, and put it to me. And I took it by the help of the Lord. And we got her done. But it wasn't easy. And to be honest with you, I liked to snap before the whole thing was over. The load got so heavy, I just about went under. But the Lord helped me. Now then, here he's telling him, I want you to do this. I want you to build. Listen, folks, God's still in the business, building business today. Amen. He's interested in building the church of God. He's interested in having more members in the church. He's interested in salvation, sanctification. He's interested in everything that you and I can do for the Lord. Now then, how long has it been since you invited somebody to a meeting? Maybe two people, maybe three. Now you say, well, they turned me down. Ask them again. They turned you down again. Ask them again. Well, Brother Carl, you don't understand. That's where courage stands up, folks. When things are going against us, courage says, we can do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to stop. The little man, or the man and the younger brother that was out, passed out tracts, and they knocked on the door. And a woman, she was not polite to them. She was just pretty horrible to them. And they went their way. And the man, the younger guy, he looked up the older guy. He said, well, I guess we went back here. He said, we'll be back tomorrow. He went back the second day. And that time I think she cussed him out. And then after she shut the door, I believe they had prayer. And then another time they went. Anyway, finally, she began to accept. She began to think and consider. She began to weigh, and God began to work. Listen, it's not always easy to get people to come to meeting in today's world. They have few things in a bad position. But young people, invite your friend. And you have. I appreciate what you're doing. But don't quit. Two's better than one. Three's better than two. Four's better than three. Listen, we can build. But we've got to do our part. And it takes courage to do it. They might say no. I've had a lot of people turn me down through the years, invite them to meeting. I'm talking about friends, people I worked with. No, I don't want to come, Carl. I don't want to come. Well, did I quit? No. I kept inviting. And I kept inviting. Listen today, we need to keep inviting. We need to keep calling. And one thing that will help them, and Lord help us, I don't want this to be my hobby horse, but I get on it a lot. And the bottom line is, when people are down, so to speak, and you can go in, like I said a while ago, and you can encourage them and uplift them and bless them, that's a way to help you get in the inside door. So ask them. be with them. The Lord wants us to take courage. He wants us to build. He wants us to do. Somebody said, well, Brother Marty, that's his job. No, he only knows so many. You know more people than he does. You've got family he might not even know. I know families. I've been involved in this thing for a long time. And the bottom line is I know a lot of people. But still, I know people they don't know, and they know people I don't know. So let us help. I think he's doing a good job with this right here. This right here, there's no telling how large that could get. There's no telling what could happen. His other connections on Facebook has been a real blessing to him and to others. You just don't know. Well, that's not my thing. Well, it's his thing. It's his burden. But the bottom line is you all are helping, but you can do more. You can give more. You can. When I say give more, you can give more of your time maybe and maybe your money. But the bottom line is get in there and do. And I'm hearing good reports. I'm not downing anybody. But what the deal is, could this chapel hold more people? Yeah. There are some empty benches. The Lord could put more people in here. He could save more. Lord, help us to have courage. Lord, help us to get out there and do what we need to do. All right. Let's go to 2 Samuel 12 and 1. All right, this is a story about Nathan, the prophet, and the Lord sent him unto David. And he went unto David, and he went there, and he told him and dealt with him. David had this sin that he had done covered up. Nobody knew it, basically, but the Lord. And so the Lord sent him to David, and he dealt with him. And he flat told him. He brought about a deal, and then he said there, and Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel," I'm 7th verse, "and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I will give thee, and I will do for thee," and so forth. "But because you have done this, I'll raise up evil against thee out of thine own house." Now here's the point. Ministers, leaders, are sometimes required of the Lord to go and talk to somebody or deal with something that can be discouraging. And the fact of you fixing to go, and the devil can work, it can discourage you. The devil can do everything he can to hinder you. Can you imagine when the Lord told Nathan to do this, how he might have trembled? Was a little bit shook up, a little bit scared. This is David, this is a king, this is a powerful man, and he wants me to go flat tell him he sinned and committed wrong? That wouldn't be easy. But he did. He did. He stood up for the truth. He stood up in the fact. Listen, folks, there may be some time that we have to deal with somebody. We don't like the idea of doing it, but the Lord wants us to take courage as he leads us, as he guides us, as he helps us, and we may need to talk to somebody and work with somebody. The Lord wants us to do those things as he leads. Now, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but as he leads us. All right, let's go to my favorite right here on this little message, 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. David and Goliath. David and Goliath. Young people, I want you to pay attention. And because of time, I don't even know what time I started, but I'm trying to finish up here. The Philistines gathered together, 17 and 1 of 1 Samuel, together their armies to battle and were scattered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pinched between Shoco and Azanah, and Ephraim, and I'm not good at these names. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. Now the Philistines stood on one side, Israel stood on the other. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass on his hand. He was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like the weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why art you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And you servants of Saul, choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants to serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel. Now this was a man that was, his height was somewhere between 9'9 and 11'3. His armor weighed 272 pounds and 13 ounces. His spear weighed about 37 and a half pounds, and his coat of mail was 156 pounds. He was carrying a lot of weight. He was no small man. Now David, so it goes on down in here, and the Philistine, and when Saul and all Israel heard these words of Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. Their courage went down. David was a son. And David, he come along and he heard these words and it stirred him up. And he went to Saul, I believe it was, and he let him know. He said, and David said to Saul in the 32nd verse, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight against this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able. Now this would be discouraging too. David says, I'm going to do it. And Saul says, You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and he took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and I smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. And David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in his shepherd bag, which he had, even his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now the very size of this guy would scare most men to death. I look up, somebody's twice my height. Brother Marty, would that be a little scary? It'd be a little scary. Now, we got some men in here taller than I am, and I'm not a tall man by any means, but it would be scary. But David, he had done, had experience, and he had won. Listen, folks, young people, you need to get your experience, your battles. And as you win these battles are stepping stones. They're a foundation to get you set for bigger battles and harder battles. And so here Goliath, he said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And David said, No, I'm going to do it. And Saul said, Well, you're just a youth. Listen, youth win battles too. Old brother Austin Wilson was in a battle one time. And he gave this story. He said, I was in a battle, and he said, I was going down the sidewalk, and there's a lot of people, and to me, it was like a holiday. Now, this is what I felt like. And he didn't say it was a holiday, but he said there was a lot of people coming and going and everything. And he's going down, and him and the Lord's talking, so to speak, as he's walking, and the Lord begins to deal with him, and he turned and he went in the store, and the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm going to give you this battle just like I did all the others. He had experience, see. He had the foundation set. Listen, build your foundation of victories. Build it of faith. Build it of power. And as God comes along, you have something to stand on and reserve behind you, so to speak, and use that against the giant. Listen, folks, there's giants out there today. The devil is no little fella, so to speak, but God is bigger, and you can whip him. You can whip his imps. Brother Egbert Ellen that I worked with for several years, he was walking one day, and he went down, and he was blind. He'd walk across the street from his house, and he'd go down the hill, right on the edge of the pavement, all the way down the hill, and there was a creek down there, there's a bridge. He knew exactly where to stop, and he said, I got down there one day, and he said, I felt the very presence of the enemy. A lot of them. A lot of the enemy. And he said, I stood there and I started rebuking every imp and every devil and everything and standing against them. And he said, they left. He said, they left. He said, I crossed the road and went up the other side rejoicing. Listen, the Lord gives us power against the enemy. We can stomp the head of the devil. We can get the victories over the Philistines. We can get what we need. But don't let the devil come along and roar. You know what lions do in a forest? They stick their head down close to the ground and they roar. And that goes out and it scares a lot of little animals. It scares them and makes them nervous and so forth. And they're jittery. And a lot of times they may run right to the lion in their scaredness. Listen today, the devil is going to roar, he's going to romp, he's going to do everything he can do to scare you and I. But the bottom line is, there's more with us than with him. With us is God, his angels, his power, his authority. We've got everything we need. Just take courage and stand up. David took courage here. He didn't allow this man to scare him. He didn't allow him to back him down. Even Saul couldn't stop him. This was a man that you'd think, well, you can't do this, son. You're too young. But I done this and I done that. Listen, when you've got some things in your corner, you can say, listen, I'm going to do it. And do it. And do it. And he done it. And he got the victory. All right, let's close in Psalms 31. Psalms 31 and 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now be of good courage. When a person's good courage, like I said a while ago, it's not hard to inspire them or fire them. He said he will strengthen. He will give you the things that he wants you to have to help you, to bless you. Even though we've been in many battles, even though we've fought, we've won, and so forth, there's still things we haven't fought. There's still things that we haven't won. And the Lord wants to come along. And if we've got good courage and we're willing to stand flat-footed, so to speak, and not be pushed around, the Lord will come along and he can give us a new scripture. He can give us a new encouragement of some type of song maybe, a message that we've heard, something over whatever that we've got a hold of. And the Lord can just drop that in our mind and help us to say, I'm standing right here. What was he said? He said, as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to go down, he said. I'm going to serve God. Lord, help us to stand and serve the Lord. I appreciate your time and attention this morning.